This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
I'm Callie Crossley in for Tanzina Vega. 2020 has been bookended by two significant achievements for Black animators. In February, the Best Animated Short Oscar went to writer and co-director Matthew Cherry's Hair Love, about a Black father learning how to style his daughter's hair. And last week, Pixar released Soul, its first movie with a Black lead character and its first with a Black co-director. But the year has also been a tumultuous one for Black animators and voice actors. Over the summer, a number of white voice actors stepped away from their roles as animated characters of color. And overall, Black creatives remain highly underrepresented in the animation field. Joining me now is Bruce W. Smith, creator of the upcoming The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, one of the co-directors of Hair Love, and he was a supervising animator on The Princess and the Frog. Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also with us, Ian Jones-Corti, an animator and executive producer who's worked on shows including Adventure Time, Steven Universe, and The Venture Brothers. Thanks for being here, Ian.
Hi, Kelly.
And Angelique Perrin is a voice actor and co-host and producer of Cafe Mocha Radio on WBLS. Great to have you with us, Angelique.
Hey, Kelly.
Bruce, you got your start as an animator in the 80s. Back then, were you working alongside many other Black animators?
Ironically, the first studio I worked with, the door was answered by Phil Mendez. Phil Mendez was an African-American artist who actually had roots at Disney. Was actually a New York artist and had started his own studio. And for me, it was a summer job coming out of CalArts. That was the first face that I actually met as a professional artist in this business was Phil Mendez.
Hmm. Ian, what was your initial experience in animation? And were you often one of the only animators of color in the room?
Yeah, I was. However, you know, similar to Bruce, like one of my first jobs, one of my supervisors was Kimson Albert, who's a Black man. And we worked in New York. We worked in New York on Venture Brothers and lots of other things. I am used to being one of the only Black people in the room in L.A. It happens more often.
And Angelique, as a voice actor, have you done many auditions where the producers are explicitly looking for Black performers?
Well, I would say that for the Jedi I played in Star Wars, she had dark skin and is typically, when she's shown in the live action versions, she's typically a woman of color, a Black woman, perhaps African. So, you know, that was expressly what George Lucas wanted, a Black actress for that particular role of Adegalia. But typically, if it doesn't say, then you play the character mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, you created The Proud Family in the early 2000s. What did you want to do on the show that hadn't previously been seen with an animated Black family?
Well, for me, when I did that show, there was nothing in that space that actually, you know, you're talking about, you know, the African-American sitcom, the animated sitcom. Yeah, at that time, you had, you know, The Simpsons and Family Guy and The Critic. You had all these TV shows that were, you know, pretty much animated sitcoms that were, you know, aimed at the mainstream. And I wanted to create The Proud Family to fit in that same lane, an African-American sitcom that was aimed at the mainstream.
So, Ian, now that you've created and produced your own shows, do you have more of a say who gets hired?
On the show I co-executive produced, Steven Universe, and the show I created myself, OKKO, Let's Be Heroes, I was able to have a lot of control over who was hired in terms of artists, but also voice actors.
Have you gotten pushback from executives when you try to hire people of color for your shows?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that, we'll probably talk about this more, but a lot of that comes from the fact that actors of color and women of color especially are underrepresented in the industry. And so the pushback we would often get was, well, why don't you go with this voice, which we've heard before, or we know, or has less risk to go with? I work in TV, so everything moves really fast, and all of the producers above me really want to make sure that there's like no risk going in, so they don't want me to hire people they've never heard of before.
So following that, Angelique, are there specific skills that voice actors need to develop? Because if they don't want to take a risk, I guess they assume you may not have these certain skills.
Look, Kelly, I have done tons of classes out here in Los Angeles. I mean, by trade, I'm a radio personality, but I was a theater major. So when I came to LA, I did tons of specific classes for animation. And I remember getting booked for a pilot. It was a Will Smith cartoon that never took off. I walked out of the booth and the casting director looked at me and she said, "Why have I never heard of you before?" And that's sort of the problem. There's a huge disconnect between the talent out there and the people casting for the talent. They love the people that they know, and for the people that they don't, who have had, you know, little, small, significant roles throughout their career, they don't think to reach out. So, you know, there's a big problem.
Over the summer, several prominent white actors stepped away from their roles voicing characters of color. What was your reaction?
Well, I applauded them, and I had to write an opinion piece to The Hollywood Reporter to respond, because some of those roles I didn't even get to audition for. I've been doing this for 20 years. How do I not get to audition for a role that calls for a black female character, or mixed? I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, multiracial. Yeah, so I was both horrified that so many were out there, white characters playing white actors playing black characters, but then also horrified that I didn't get the opportunity to play any of those roles because I wasn't offered an audition.
Ian, actors of color are also overlooked when it comes to voicing characters like aliens or mystical creatures that don't have race in animated shows. Do producers need to be more imaginative when it comes to casting those roles?
Yeah, absolutely. On the show I co-executive produced, Steven Universe, the main cast are almost all aliens, and we ended up casting a majority women of color, and it was just because these were the voices that we hadn't heard before. And I really would love people to be a little more open to finding those voices, because, you know, for me, it's less about the idea of matching character skin color to the actor, but actual, like, economic justice. I want women of color and actors of color to get paid and get respect and have prominence within the industry.
Amen.
So Bruce, when you worked on 2009's The Princess and the Frog, which had Disney's first black princess, but more than 10 years later, Pixar has its first black lead character in Soul. Are you disappointed that it's taken so long to see more black animated lead characters?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's a whole generation almost passing by before anyone thinks of, hey, you know, let's take this film that we've got right now and sort of recast the lead, you know, and let, you know, an African-American enjoy and participate. I mean, that's just been the whole thing since I've been in this business. It's like we love this business as African-American artists, but we want to participate. Like, we want to be involved in all of the flights of fancy. You know, I've worked on so many projects that did not involve me from an animation standpoint, but I had to put myself in the character, you know, so actually it's helped me as an animator. It's helped, you know, help separate myself and my skill set from the crowd because of the things that I do as an African-American to put in the character. But that still doesn't necessarily reflect the character that's actually on the screen as being a person of color. And that's sort of been an issue with me for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Angelique, when voice actors of color are cast, it's often relatively big name actors who get the part. Are you hoping to see Hollywood move away from reliance on big names in order to give other voice actors like yourself a chance?
I would love that. You know, the jobs that I have auditioned for that were specifically black female characters or male often went to, like, Regina King, Sanaa Lathan, Nia Long. But the thing that I can bring, I cannot bring what Regina King does. But what I can do is I could also play the grandma.
And I could also play Rollo.
I can do, you know, I can do different things. I don't do what they do. but they don't do what I do. So when you cast Sanaa Lathan, who's a fabulous A-list Black actress, you just get that, and you don't get the levels that you're going to get with someone who does this the way I do and who relishes it.
So what do you think animation studios need to do in order to make the animation industry more welcoming to animators of color and voice actors of color? And I'll start with you, Ian.
For me, and you know, this just goes for everything, it's really just about being aware of what's going on. For instance, when I created my show, OKKO, Let's Be Heroes for Cartoon Network, I was only the second Black creator for the network. And the first Black creator was Andre 3000. So, you know, he got to come in the door a completely different way than I did. I think that studios need to be aware that, you know, talent, people of color, you know, they're rare in this industry, but it doesn't mean we don't have the talent. They need to just be aware and cast their net a little wider. And I really hope that that's going to happen more as we get more people being able to come to prominence, you know, using the internet. And it's hopefully easier to find those people.
So, Bruce, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Ian. I mean, I think it's really about opportunity. I think, you know, for us to have the opportunity will help paint and put the industry on course and on par for what we in the foreseeable future. Because, listen, one thing you can't deny in life is that we as a Black people, we drive culture. we just do. So that always when you see our stories being told and when you drop us in movies, it makes those movies that much more interesting, you know, because of the language that we bring, the swag that we bring. Those are things that are necessary. Those are things that they look for. So, you know, moving forward, producers, always you should think about that.
Angelique, how do you weigh in?
I weigh in like this. This isn't easy work to be more inclusive. It's going to take a couple of extra steps for this to happen. And it could be something simple as grabbing six of the best little drawers in, you know, whatever neighborhood, bringing them in and mentoring them for a year. It could be something that small, just mentoring aspiring, you know, animators, voice actors, or it could be a larger program where we go, hey, let's invest in the future of this industry. But we know that there's the talent out there, but the talent has to be given the opportunity, and people need to be open to opening that door to allow other faces, other ideas, and other types of creativity in.
Ian, this year you worked on a series of anti-racism shorts for Cartoon Network. Is animation a good medium for addressing the serious issues of the kind we've been talking about?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll say it a million times. Animation is uniquely positioned to be a medium that expresses and teaches empathetic skills and gets characters across. You know, at the end of the day, animation is, you know, it's like a century-old magic trick. We're basically forcing your brain to look at these images, hear these sound effects, and believe that that's a real person and a real character. The reason why animation is so powerful is because that power comes from you, the viewer. You put all those things together in your brain, and you create the character as well as us giving you the material to do so. Animation is incredibly powerful in that way, and I hope more people pay attention.
Bruce, there has been some criticism that in both The Princess and the Frog and Soul, the Black lead character has spent a lot of the movies outside of their Black skin. What do you make of those critiques?
You know, it's an odd thing. I can't even account it to it being intentional or anything like that. It's just a weird phenomenon that I think, you know, that kind of caught everyone's kind of eye. Because I can't explain it no any more than that. I think Princess and the Frog, that's just the story. So no matter who was going to be cast in that role, they were going to turn into a frog ultimately. So and so I think it's simply told within the fiber of the story. Just makes sense to me. And in Soul also, you know, the character did not spend the whole movie, you know, as a soul. I mean, we did see a portion, you know, a good portion of the movie where he comes back. Spoilers. Spoiler alert. But,
yes.
But I don't know. I think that that's an odd phenomenon. It just simply seems to add up for whatever reason. I can't explain, you know, the Spies Like Us, I think, that movie was, where the character turned into a bird. It's just a weird phenomenon. I don't know if producers, just in the back of their mind, there's only so much blackness they can take on the screen at one time. I kind of don't know.
I had to ask the question because, you know, Black Twitter is not having it. That people have added up the minutes of how long the princess was the princess and how long she was a frog. And same thing with Soul now. I mean, you know, they're very unhappy. Just saying.
That's pretty funny.
Okay. Now, what people are happy about, we mentioned that Hair Love won the Best Animated Short Oscar back in February. What did that mean to you since you were part of that?
Yeah, that was sensational. That was something that we all kind of did not expect, to be honest with you. It's like we were just out to really make a great movie. We thought that, you know, Matthew Cherry's just the genesis of the idea we thought was fantastic. And I think, you know, it just caught the sort of the emotional heartstrings of a lot of artists in the business outside of, you know, just talent around town. So you saw it got crowdfunded, but it got crowdfunded by some pretty essential people in Hollywood. So I think we knew that it was necessary. You know, when the guys approached me to come on board, I knew it was a necessary project. I was doing something else at the time, and I knew it was necessary, and I knew I wanted to be involved just because of what it stood for.
Well, count me among the millions who wept many times over that little film. So just want to let you know it really struck a chord.
I cry while making it. Yeah. So
Okay, there you go. Well, I'm glad to know that. All right. I have a question for all of you. And that is, are there any upcoming animated shows or movies from creators of color that you're excited for? Angelique, I'll start with you.
Well, of course, I have to talk about hopefully season two of LaShawn Thomas's Cannon Busters. I love LaShawn. I describe him as this young brother from Queens who said, I want to make my own cartoon. He went to Korea, learned the inner workings of how animation, the art of animation is done, and came back. I met him in Korea, and I used to just send him voice work for his characters. He did a Kickstarter campaign, made some money for a pilot, and Cannon Busters wound up on Netflix after years of hard work. So I'm looking forward to a second season of that, and as well as whatever he comes up with, because I think it's so important we continue to support the Black animation that's out there. You know, we have to watch the shows. We can't just complain that, you know, there's not enough of it. When it shows up, we have to support it. So that's, you know, part two of that discussion. I had no idea, Ian, I had no idea that Steven Universe was yours.
Wow.
I did get to audition for that, though. So, you know, I'm in the business. I had no idea. So press, you know, get out there, get in front of people and let them know.
Well, there's one way. Ian, I want to ask you the same question. Are there any upcoming animated shows or movies from creators of color that you're excited for?
I also think LaShawn Thomas is amazing. A show I'm looking forward to actually was Everett Downing, who worked on Hair Love, is going to be doing a Netflix series called My Dad the Bounty Hunter, which looks really awesome. And then another show that I'll always give props to is a show on Cartoon Network, Craig of the Creek. It has white creators, but a large part of the writing and storyboarding staff are Black people and people of color. And I'm really looking forward to more of those shows. It's a great show, just about kids being kids, and the main character is, you know, just like the kind of black kid who I was when I was a kid, and it's just really exciting to see that.
What kind of kid were you?
Oh, I was just similarly the kind of kid who was always trying to, you know, create things, draw stuff, have, like, you know, little adventures with my friends. I was, like, constantly trying to rope my friends into, like, making movies with me and stuff like that. So it's fun to see, like, that type of character on TV for other kids to have.
And finally, Bruce, to you, are there any upcoming animated shows or movies from creators of color that you're excited for?
Oh, man, I agree with you with the Everett Downing piece. Because, yeah, Ev is my dude, and I know he was really excited to get that shot at Netflix. You know, now you see a lot of opportunity being sort of spread throughout. I know a lot of my friends have their head down in projects I can't mention right now.
No, you can mention it. We'd be happy to have the scoop.
But I think I can see the next, you know, easily, you know, I can see the next 10 years as really the industry mining, you know, black talent for projects that are black that feel authentic. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Craig of the Creek, you know, once upon a time, you know, if the Proud Family and Craig of the Creek were in the same, were of the same era, one would cancel out the other. You know what Absolutely. I mean? So, but now we're in a space where we hope that we get, you know, to see many sides of blackness, you know, from the shows that are grounded to the shows that sort of are kind of lift off the ground and are full of whimsy and being, you know, inclusive in areas that we just weren't allowed to play in for such a long time. So that's what I look forward to. I mean, this kind of reminds me of a little bit of the blaxploitation era, you know, where you, you know, now Hollywood is really mining the, you know, black talent. And we just hope that window stays open much longer than, you know, 7-8 years.
Bruce W. Smith is the creator of the upcoming The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. Ian Jones-Corti is the creator of OKKO, Let's Be Heroes. And Angelique Perrin is a voice actor and co-host and producer of Cafe Mocha Radio on WBLS. Thank you all for speaking with me.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.